we pray as I start. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a speaking God. As we open your word this morning, please speak to us both in our hearts and our minds. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do have a seat and turn back, if you will, to Psalm 8, the second reading that Stuart read for us. Psalm 8, it's on page 546 in our church Bibles. A great psalm that celebrates the wonder of creation. Well, did you know that this year, for the first time, the world's population will exceed 7.5 billion people. 7.5 billion people now inhabit the world. One wonders where everyone will live. How will all those mouths be fed? And of course, this population explosion that the world has witnessed over the last 50 years or so is just one of several contemporary environmental challenges that we face, isn't it? Contemporary consumption patterns, especially here in the affluent West, have created a waste mountain. A waste mountain of packaging, products and discarded possessions. And that waste all needs to be disposed of in a sustainable and effective and efficient way. Did you know, for example, the shocking truth is that in the UK we create 4 times our own body weight in waste each year? Where can it all safely go? Resource depletion is, of course, another environmental challenge the world faces. Fossil fuels like coal, oil and gas won't last forever, and they emit environmentally damaging gases when they're burnt anyway. While things like deforestation and desertification are major problems in the developing world. In many places, clean air and clean water cannot be taken for granted. And then, of course, finally, climate change is a challenge for us all, but especially for those poorest and most vulnerable people on our planet. It's no surprise then, as a result of these enormous environmental challenges, the environment is constantly in the news, isn't it? We are all urged to go green. And so this morning I want us to think for a short while about a Christian view of the environment. As Christians, how should we care about this world God has given us, this world in which we live and breathe? Well, we should begin where Psalm 8 begins, really, in reminding ourselves that this world we enjoy is not a cosmic fluke or a chaotic accident. This world is the deliberate creation of a good and generous God. And whatever view you may take on exactly how God made this world, whatever scientific theory you may subscribe to, we cannot deny the beauty, order, and wonder of this universe. Indeed, science itself as a discipline would be impossible if this world really was irrational, chaotic, and lawless. The author of Psalm 8 that we had read just now was certainly in no doubt that this amazing world, this ordered, rational world, was created by a rational and awesome God. It tells us, doesn't it? That this world has been put in place, he says, by God. This earth is the work of God's hands. And it follows, therefore, that because this world is a creation of a good and generous God, we Christians have an obligation to care for it. Our psalm this morning reminds us of our God-given responsibilities for this world we have been given. And it's appropriate, isn't it, that we tackle this topic on our Harvest Sunday here at St Michael's, when we give special thanks for the wonders of God creation and for the good things that it gives us. The way I've chosen to dissect or summarise this psalm for us this morning is to see that it reminds us as humans of 3 things. It reminds us that we have a right to rule over the world. This psalm also reminds us that we have a duty of care for it. And thirdly, Psalm 8 tells us that we are called to praise the God who has made it. A right to rule, a duty of care, and a call to praise. Let's look at those three things in turn. Well, firstly then, in verses 5 and 8 of our passage today, we're told, aren't we, that God has given human beings the right to rule over creation. Those verses tell us that humans have been given responsibility to rule over all the flocks and herds and over all the beasts of the fields, it says. We're also responsible, says the psalm, for the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and indeed all that swims in the path of the sea. In short, this psalm says that we are to have rule over everything under our feet. Psalm 8 is very clear, isn't it? That we humans are unique in God's created order. We are the pinnacle of what he has made. We are indeed only a little lower than the heavenly beings, as it says in verse 5. And as God's image bearers in his world, we humans have been given the knowledge, the power and the intellect to govern it responsibly. Of course, as creator, God retains ultimate responsibility for his world. But our psalm today tells us, doesn't it, that he has delegated some of his kingly power, some of his authority, down to us as human beings. As humans, we are to be God's ambassadors, God's ruling representatives, if you like, here on earth. We have the permission, the privilege and the power to be stewards of God's world. And of course, the God-given power that we have over creation is seen in the amazing advances of our science and in modern technology that enables us to explore, engineer and enjoy the world around us. From the Large Hadron Collider to our own home cooking and gardening, we humans have been given an amazing ability by God to manage and manipulate the world around us. We humans can cultivate crops, design computers, and send satellites into space. Those are amazing privileges, awesome rights that we've been given by God. But as we all know, I hope, with rights come responsibilities. Our right to rule over creation is no excuse to exploit it or abuse it. So with our right to rule, says our psalm today, comes a duty of care as well. You see, the Bible gives Christians no excuse to sinfully dominate or destroy God's creation. Today's psalm says we are to rule the world, not wreck it. There is a huge difference between responsible stewardship of creation and willful neglect. Of course, there are countless practical ways in which responsible Christians can care for God's world today. For example, in our own homes, we can do our best to recycle, reuse or renew old or unwanted possessions. We can seek to adopt a simpler lifestyle, reducing our consumption of those goods and services most damaging to the environment. We may also be able to reduce our energy consumption as well by little things like turning off lights and appliances when we're not using them, or by installing better insulation in our homes. And on the national or global scale, are we able to give a little more money to backing environmental organisations? Christian charities like Tear Fund, for example, that exist to help protect God's world and support the most vulnerable people in it. You see, our world is a gift from God, says our psalm, and we are all ultimately accountable to him for how we look after it. So let's take our duty of care seriously, doing what we can in our little way for our environment. Let's be faithful stewards of what we've been given. One third and final feature of Psalm 8 also meant to capture our attention. Because this psalm, as well as stressing our right to rule and our duty of care, also includes a call to praise as well, doesn't it? A call to praise the majestic God who has made this marvellous world. The psalm begins and ends, doesn't it, with words of praise to God, words we should join in with ourselves. O Lord, our Lord, it says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You see, as Christians, it is our joy and our privilege to praise our Creator, to adore our Heavenly Father. And we should not be like those today who worship nothing, who believe this world is simply a product of blind chance. And nor should we be seen like some New Age and other alternative religions which worship the earth itself and in so doing confuse creation with its creator. No, says Psalm 8, we should joyfully praise the one God who has made heaven and earth, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We should praise the same God who made himself most fully and perfectly visible in the person of Jesus Christ. So next time you take a walk in the park, or look at a beautiful landscape, or tuck into a plateful of delicious food, do give thanks and praise to the God who has graciously given them. As I finish, I hope Psalm 8 this morning has reminded us on this harvest morning of all days of the beautiful world that God has given us to both rule over and care for, a world we should rightly praise and thank him for. The New Testament book of Hebrews tells us actually that there was one man who totally fulfilled this God-ordained rule. Responsibility for humanity, someone who fulfilled the role for mankind described in Psalm 8. There is one man who's walked the earth who has totally fulfilled his God-given rights and responsibilities. And that man, of course, was the Lord Jesus, God's own Son. Because it's in Hebrews chapter 2 where we're told that Jesus, above all, is the human being who is the rightful king and ruler of creation. The one man who has been crowned with all glory and honour by his Father. The one man who truly is above even the greatest angel. And as Christians, we should look forward to that glorious day when one day all of creation will be very visibly put under Christ's rule, underneath his feet. As Christians, we should long for that day when Jesus shall reign as undisputed King of creation. That day when all things in heaven and on earth below will be recycled and made new. When there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We should long for that day when we will praise Christ. That day when every knee shall gladly bow before him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this beautiful world that you have made, and thank you for entrusting it to us as stewards. Please help us to care for creation and give you the praise that is due. And Lord, we long for that day when Christ shall rule over the whole world, when his kingdom shall be seen and shall come in all its fullness. In his name we pray. Amen.